Hello, this is Joshua Mack, and we are reading together Jeremiah Burroughs' book, A Treatise on Earthly-Mindedness. And we are thinking about earthly-mindedness, first of all, because it is a problem. It was a problem in the Apostle Paul's day, as he writes the book of Philippians. He talks about people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I know that's something I don't want to be, that's something you don't want to be. We don't want to be enemies of the cross of Christ. And he describes what enemies of the cross of Christ look like. He says their God is their belly, they glory in their shame, and they set their mind on earthly things. So these people have set their minds on earthly things, and that makes them an enemy of the cross of Christ. I think even of the Apostle Peter, who exemplified that actually at a point in his life, right after he had made this great big confession of who Jesus Christ is, which was wonderful, revealed by God to him. Jesus talks then about the cross, and Peter doesn't like it. And so he takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. And Jesus then says, "Get behind me, Satan. For you have set your mind on things of this earth, not on the things of God." And so Peter here is a follower of Christ, and yet he's not thinking like a follower of Christ. The way he's thinking things should be really is how the world thinks things should be. He's earthly minded, and that was a problem. It was putting him at that point in opposition to God. We know God's grace that he showed Peter, and we're so thankful for that. But Peter at that point, because he had set his mind on things of earth, was really standing against what God was planning to do through Jesus. So earthly-mindedness is definitely a problem. It was a problem back in Paul's day. It's a problem in our day too, for sure. I think, in fact, that earthly-mindedness has kind of become normal, which is part of what makes it such a problem. We would say we don't want to be earthly minded, but it's just so normal for people to set their minds on things of this earth that I'm afraid sometimes we don't even really know the difference, actually, or haven't thought carefully about the difference between an earthly minded man and a spiritually minded man, which is part of why we're reading this book by Jeremiah Burroughs, because he is coming to us from a couple hundred years ago, and he's not part of our culture. He was part of a different culture, and he was a godly man, and he is thinking about what does it look like to be earthly-minded, and he's giving us some descriptions of it, 9, in fact, and we are on number 7. And so this is the 7th characteristic of an earthly-minded man. He says, "That which we may add as a 7th characteristic is that he is earthly in spiritual things." So this is important. We're not earthly-minded just because we are religious. You can be a religious, earthly-minded person. Now, again, of course, we're not talking perfection here. He says, "I grant that the best of the saints may have some earthliness in spiritual things." We all do, unfortunately. But I speak of the predominance. It's that which rules in the heart, so that in the performance of spiritual things, his very ends are but earthly, and the frame of his heart is but earthly in spiritual performances. So look at the way we do spiritual things. Are we doing spiritual things in a spiritual way, from spiritual motivations, or really from earthly motivations? And this is important for us to look at, because we study the scripture and we see that rituals have never really been much of a problem for people like Israel. Israel got into all kinds of trouble, and they were doing some serious idolatry, you know. They were totally running away from God. And yet, as you read the prophets, even though they're engaging in idolatry, the prophets are pretty clear that they're still going to the temple. They're still offering sacrifices. They're still going through all those rituals. In fact, I was reading Psalm 50 this morning, and God's like, You guys, I'm not needing your sacrifices if you're not trusting me and giving thanks to me. All these sacrifices and all these rituals mean nothing." And the reason he says that to them is because they were doing the rituals. They were being very religious, but they were earthly minded in the way they were going about their religion. And so it's very possible to do spiritual things in an earthly way, to get ourselves something here on earth. I don't know, approval, to avoid conflict, maybe, to do spiritual things with this same sort of mindset. I'm the hero. I've got to satisfy God, or I've got to satisfy other people through my performance. Maybe it's fear of man driving. A lot of people, even professing Christians, are very afraid of what other people think, and that's what's driving their religious activity. There's often a lack of awe of God, and it's more about how this religious performance makes me feel, which is, of course, very earthly. Pride. So a seventh characteristic of an earthly-minded person is he might be religious, but he does his religious activity in an earthly-minded way. That not just like he struggles with that. That's actually the predominant thing about his religious activity or spiritual performance. The eighth thing wherein we may find an earthly-minded man is this, that he passes through many and great difficulties in matters of the earth, and they are very little to him. Now, listen to what he's saying here. Though he toils a great deal in matters of the earth, he's never weary because he's in his proper element. And I don't think he means he doesn't ever get tired, but he just keeps going. He's willing to make any sacrifices for business, for studies, for sports, for whatever, because that's his element. Therefore, let there be what difficulties there will be, which to another man would be very great, he makes them as nothing, and though there is much toil and labor, yet he's not weary. He's going to keep going. Why? Because he's in his own element. The fish is not weary with swimming, but a man is quickly weary. It's because the fish is in his element, and the man is not. Observe this. When a man's spirit is in this kind of temper, let him be busied about earthly things, wherein earthly advantage comes in, no difficulties will hinder him, no wind or weather. He will rise in cold mornings and go abroad, do anything in the world. Oh, what difficulties will men endure in storms at sea and hazards there and troubles at land and sit up late and rise early and toil themselves and complain of no weariness or difficulties. So maybe the not complaining is not realistic. People do often complain about things. But for me here, what he's saying is, or at least what I'm getting from what he's saying, is that an earthly-minded person is really willing to make great sacrifices for some kind of earthly gain. And so I think of students who want to get into a certain college, the kind of sacrifices they'll make to do that. And they may complain here or there, but they're going to make those sacrifices. But okay, so they're willing to make sacrifices for something like that. But he goes on, he says, let them come to spiritual things, to soul business that concerns God and their spiritual estates. Every little difficulty puts them aside and discourages them. So when it comes to actually learning or growing, they will be satisfied with like, oh, it's not a good night, or I've got this or that to do. And they would never make those excuses when it came to maybe being part of a baseball team or something, or for a man, maybe he'd be satisfied when it comes to, with the excuses when it comes to his soul, that he would never be satisfied with when it comes to his job. Every little difficulty puts them aside and discourages them, he says. Every molehill is a mountain in their way. I would do so and so, but it's so hard. And there's not going to be good parking, or it's late at night, or whatever. He says to rise in the morning, especially in cold winters. It's a very hard and difficult thing to read and pray. And so he complains of the difficulties of these things and feels like those complaints are valid. Now, if that's how we're acting when it comes to spiritual things, yeah, we're not going to grow. We're going to be in trouble. He says, to watch over the heart is a very difficult thing. To an earthly man, any spiritual thing is difficult, and the difficulties discourage him. In spiritual things, oh, how weary are they. In Malachi 1:13, they cry out, what a weariness is it? But they can follow the business of the world from morning to night and never get tired. They can work like a horse and never be out of breath. It's funny with children. They're an obvious example, probably too obvious, but the amount of effort they'll put into, I don't know, playing a video game, or how patiently they'll watch a movie. They'll sit there for a long time and watch a movie. And yet when it comes to spiritual things, yawning, it's so difficult. And we understand, of course, they're kids, maybe not converted. But yet at the same time, I think as parents, we need to be careful that we don't just accept that as something that is valid and normal. So my child might get excited about, I don't know, getting a new pair of shoes in the mail. And he can, he or she can talk about that, wait for anticipation for that. When they come, rejoice in that. And then we sit down maybe to have devotions. And they're happy to do that. But yeah, it's sometimes it might, you can imagine, it might be tempting to think the devotions are going a little long, especially if your dad's a preacher or something. And it can be a sort of weariness to that. Now, as a dad, I don't just be like, oh, I can't believe my child is a human and they are being earthly minded and just this is, I need to preach a 2-hour sermon at him or something or her and exasperate them like that. I realize, of course, they're kids. We realize they're kids. They don't know as well what is valuable as they should. But at the same time, I want to encourage my children to think like, hey, these shoes that you're excited about, you're not going to remember them in 10 years. And if you do, they're going to be gone. The God, a relationship with God, is the most valuable thing on the earth. And so this excitement over the shoes is fine. That's great. That's good. But it's revealing a weakness if the things of God are so much harder for me to get excited about. And I should pray, Lord, please help me to learn to rejoice in the good gifts you've given me, like shoes. But at the same time, help me not to get some sort of strange view of the world where shoes are more valuable than my relationship with you. And so as a parent, and even as we look at our own lives, we recognize that we're humans, that we're going to struggle. But at the end of the day, we need to remind ourselves and our children that the things of God should be what are most exciting to us and what we should be willing to make the most sacrifices for. And if we're not, we don't just accept that. We don't need to just, we go to Christ. He's a great Savior. He's forgiving. He knows we're humans and that we are weak. And we ask him for help to value what we should value. So he says, and he uses an illustration that's less childish and more adultish. And this is maybe something you could try. I think it would be great to try. He says, I wish you would try once to spend one Sabbath exactly and see what a weariness that would be to you. Spend one Sunday. They talked about Sabbaths. They had a little bit of a stricter view of the Sabbath than we might, but yeah, it wouldn't be bad to learn from them at least a little to make better use of what we would call the Lord's Day. But he says, try this one Sunday. Resolve one Sunday to rise early in the morning and to have your thoughts spiritual and heavenly as much as you can. Then get up and pray alone in your closet. Then read and hear and meditate and mark what you hear. Then come to church and I think this is what he's talking about when he says, read and hear, meditate and mark what you hear. As you come to church, say to yourself, I am going to listen at church as if my life depended on it. And if the preacher's good or bad, if he's preaching the word, I'm going to be happy. And I am going to work as hard at profiting from that message as I would to get an A on a calculus exam. And then do that while you're at church. And then when you come home again, think about the word and try to spend the whole day reading, hearing, meditating, and talking about good things. Talking with your family about it, having discussions with your family about it, going on a walk maybe and thinking about some truth as you do, or just enjoying the earth, praying again at the end. See how tiresome this will be to your hearts if they are fleshly. Yeah, for some people, that sounds like a very difficult day. However, a spiritual heart would say, yeah, I'm human. But that sounds amazing. And Sunday unto such a one is no other than a type and forerunner of that eternal day of rest. It shall enjoy the kingdom of heaven. So like, man, I do get tired. I am weak. But being able to think and talk about the things of God and worship God sounds like the most amazing way to spend a day to me. And I want to give my all to it. Oh, yeah, this, think about this, what he's saying here. Oh, think about this. One that is spiritual counts Sunday to be a day of rest, but an earthly man is quickly tired in spiritual things. He will give up his work and not go through it. We read in Nehemiah 4:6 that Nehemiah spoke of the great difficulties that they met with in their work, and yet the work went on, for they had a mind to it. So look how a man's mind is. He will be able to go through with his work. If a man's mind is an earthly-minded man, he will go through with his work. If he takes up worldly business, he will go through with it, for he has a mind to it. He's an earthly-minded man. But let him take on a spiritual work, and he will lay it aside before it's half done. He will seldom bring to perfection any spiritual work. Why? Because he has no mind to it. Whereas if the heart were spiritual and there were any spiritual work undertaken, such a one would go through it until all was finished. Well, I'll just stop with those two characteristics of an earthly-minded man. We have one more to look at, but I would ask you not to grow discouraged. If you look at your heart and you see that, yeah, you know what? Something's wrong here. There should be a kind of sorrow for sure. It's not a bad thing to see your sin and be sad about it. I mean, I think we could use some more of that kind of sorrow. And yet, it doesn't have to end there, because this is not about you performing to such a standard that somehow you can get God to be satisfied with you. There's a Savior for sinners. There is forgiveness for those who struggle with being earthly-minded. There's the Spirit of God that can help us overcome this and wants to help us overcome this kind of earthly-mindedness. And would you go to him? If you look at yourself and you're like, you know what? I'm earthly in the way I perform spiritual things. Or, yeah, I'm willing to work a lot harder at memorizing baseball statistics than I am the Word of God. Or I put much more energy into my work than I do into spiritual things. Or, yeah, I don't take advantage of Sundays. And I will make any excuse not to take advantage of opportunities that we have to learn and grow spiritually. But I don't make those same excuses, and I'm not satisfied with them when it comes to other things. If you see that in your life, don't rationalize it away. It's not normal biblically. It's not. I mean, it's normal biblically of wicked people, but it shouldn't be normal of those of us who have been saved. And yet it has become normal in our society in many ways. And so we just need to see it for what it is. This is not the way it should be. And go to God and say, God, please forgive me. This is a sin to be earthly-minded like this. I don't want it. I'm weak. I've developed some habits maybe. I believe some lies even. And I want to repent of that. You are a great Savior. You're a great God. In your presence is the fullness of joy. I want to know you. And I ask that you would strengthen me to fight to be spiritually minded. And then what? Fight. be willing to make the sacrifices to think about God and to know God. And I'll tell you one thing that will happen if you really are a Christian. If you make those sacrifices, you're going to experience much more joy and peace and satisfaction and hope than you would by making sacrifices for anything else. May God bless you as you pursue heavenly mindedness the rest of this week.